Hello, fellow Redbirds. Welcome to Bird Fans Forever podcast number 63. If you've been a fan of the podcast and like our videos, a good way to support the channel is to like our videos and slam dunk the subscribe button on our YouTube channel, Bird Fans Forever, with the number 4. Also, go follow us on our Bird Fans Forever Twitter account to be notified of our latest podcast videos, and visit our website, www.birdfansforever.com, where you can find a list of our previous podcasts. We're looking forward to learning more about our Redbirds NIL effort with this week's podcast. Today we have Jason Higdon and RB4L former men's basketball player Matt Coates to try and help us understand the ins and outs of Empower the Nest. You can also go to their website, www.empowerthenest.com. Please welcome to the podcast, Jason and Matt.
Hello and welcome to Bird Fans Forever, episode 63 with Empower the Nest. Today we have representatives Jason Higdon and Matt Coates. And so they're here. Welcome, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
Great.
Doing great.
I know both of them. Matt and I have done alumni games together, and Jason and I have become friends since doing this. He's the one who we kind of had on about 18 months ago with Empower the Nest. Yes, so he'll talk about that. So we always talk about how we got to ISU. We're going to turn it a little bit. You're going to talk about how you got to ISU and then how you got empowered got involved in Empower the Nest. Jason's going to go first because he's older and Matt's better looking. He gets to go second.
I think that's fair. That's fair. So, I graduated from ISU in 99. I went there from 95 to 99. So I had the opportunity to watch some pretty good football during that time. But men's basketball at that time as well was really, really kicking it, right? 1998, we get that win against Tennessee in the opening round. So just been there, you know, doing the college thing. My wife is actually a graduate of ISU as well. Once we both graduated from ISU, like I said, in 99, jobs here in Bloomington, Illinois. And then just have been following the sports scene for that whole time, right? I think it's true. It's always Redbird for life. So, the last couple of years, we've probably gotten into more of the sports. You know, in college, it was primarily men's basketball, football, a little bit of baseball here and there. As I've gotten older and into, you know, into the collective, especially really started watching pretty much anything we have as a sport. Right, been to some soccer games, softball games, baseball games, football games, you know, men's basketball, women's basketball, volleyball. I still have gymnastics, track and field, and swimming on my radar. And my goal is, you know, at some point here in the near future, I'm going to go watch those three. And awesome. You know, I follow them all on Facebook and see how they do. I don't know if the course or the teams would be really, really cool with me following around on Wyvering, you know, following the men's and women's golf teams. I have had an opportunity to watch, the tennis teams out at the ERC or, Evergreen Racquet Club. So, I mean, when I say I'm a sport junkie, I go to all that stuff. So it's good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you guys for having me. I'm Matt Coates. I went to ISU from 2008 through 2011. What originally brought me to ISU, I'm originally from Peoria and grew up playing ball there. And as a student, I wasn't a great student in high school, so I was a talented basketball player, but didn't have great grades. I did just enough to get by, but never enough to excel and do well. And so, you know, following high school, I went to Illinois Central College and didn't play basketball. I just wanted to focus on my academics and just focused on being a good student. So my biggest goal there was to be able to make a great GPA to be able to transfer to ISU at some point. And so that's what happened in 2008. So I'm an incoming transfer student and I'm on campus and I love ISU. I'm loving Normal and as well as Bloomington. And then Tim Jankovich, head coach of ISU at the time, holds a tryout. For not even to be a walk-on, but to be a practice player for their team. And so it was one of those areas where I kind of debated it for a little bit, like, should I go to this? You know, and so a few guys that I've been playing at the rec, and a few of those guys contacted me and were like, Matt, you should really go try out. But we think you'd have a chance to be a practice player. And so I ultimately went to that tryout. And what's funny is all of the emotion, some of that frustration from high school of, you know, some of those unrealized goals and dreams from high school came out in that tryout. So I was relentless. And in that tryout, coaches were really looking for someone who was a great defender, someone who picked up full court and great, gave a lot of positive energy. And that's exactly what I did. And so at the end of that tryout, Coach Jankovic came up to me and asked me to be a practice player. So I was one of two guys who were asked to be a practice player. And so the next week I was practicing against a Division I team. And so immediately I kept that same attitude, that same energy, that same tenacity. And now I'm guarding Osiris Eldridge. It was really awesome. After practicing with the team for a few weeks, Coach Jankovic pulled me aside and offered me a walk-on spot on the team, which was honestly a dream come true for me, and being able to have an opportunity to play college basketball and just be a member of the team. From there, I was on the team 2008, 2009, 2010, and I graduated in 2011. After I graduated, I had met my wife while I was attending ISU. She's from Normal, and she works for State Farm. And so we got married and moved to Peoria, where I'm from. But due to the commute, we moved back to Normal, and we wanted to set roots here. And so since I was living back in Normal, I began to become more involved with the athletics department. I wanted to just volunteer and serve my community as well as serve ISU athletics. And so that's what I did. I had an opportunity to speak with Leanna Bordner, and I started serving on the athletics council. And that was kind of my introductory volunteer role with the athletics department. And then not too long after that, I had saw Chad Mazanowski out somewhere, and he was like, "Hey, you're serving a lot. I see you volunteering, and you'd be great for the serve on our NIL, Empower the Nest board." And so that's how I was introduced to it. And once it was an opportunity to serve and support ISU in athletics, it was a home run for me. And so I've been on it ever since.
So before we get into the Power in that Nest discussion, Matt, we just got to confirm one thing. Are you the one who taught Osiris how to dunk the ball then?
I wish. I wish. He certainly dunked a few on me several times, but I wish I could claim that. Wish I could claim it.
All right. So those rumors aren't true. Okay. Got it. All right. So hey, Jason and Matt, maybe you can just tell us a little bit about the structure of Empower the Nest. There's also, the 1998 club, Comply with Us. How are they related, and what's the structure?
Yeah, so Empower the Nest, which has a website, if you're interested in ever going out there, it's empowerthenest.com, is the main collective. So the main collective's oversight is really working with the ISU athletic department, and we oversee all 19 sports. So we partner with the university to really look at the entire athletic system. We have deals with men's basketball, women's basketball, football, women's golf, baseball, volleyball soon, hopefully. We're really looking at it. How do we make an impact across all? And I know I left a few out. I know we have some others too. I just can't remember them all. But right, we're looking to make an impact across all student athletes, across all sports. With that being said, we wanted to create ways to have individuals in the community be able to support a specific sport. So with Empower the Nest, again, right, empowerthenest.com, you go out there, you can donate to the general fund, and really we decide kind of how do we want to break that up. But again, right? We're looking across all 19 sports. Folks were like, I really just want to give to men's basketball. I really just want to give to women's basketball. So we started with the ideas of, you know, how do we really do that? And the 1998 club was the first instance of that. And that was really bred out of what used to be the Insiders Club or the Center Court Club. I know John probably remembers that. You know, John and Steve, you guys remember that as well. You know, and it was a way for folks to give back to the university and the team and get some, you know, inside access, be able to attend a practice, you know, maybe watch a little bit of game film with a coach, things of that nature. You know, with the way NIL works in the NCAA now, we knew that could be expanded. So, you know, I'm going to give credit to these two, Michael Rigsby and Jay McGee, really spearheaded and started, you know, how do we make the 1998 club better? And they both came to me and were like, hey, we really got this concept of moving and creating this specific, you know, somewhat collective for men's basketball. And we talked through it and the idea was, all right, let's put it under the general collective because we have IP rights, right? We work with Redbird Sports Property Management. I think I said that right. You know, so we have the opportunity to use ISU IP on merchandise and things like that. So instead of creating a whole new collective, right, creating all these new expenses, let's put it under the general umbrella, right? They get all those benefits and then, you know, we can really focus that on men's basketball. And that's how the 1998 club came about. So those two gentlemen really focus on getting donations and bringing that money in specifically for men's basketball. It worked so well, we decided to actually do that for women's basketball as well. And, you know, we met with Coach Gillespie and the coaching staff and talked through the concept and they were really on board, right? And they're like, we're like, hey, you know, what are we going to call it? And they came up with Fly With Us. And we worked with our marketing folk. So Moxie Marketing Solutions, who does our, there's a lot of shout outs right now.
That's good.
Moxie Marketing Solutions, yeah. Who does our website, also does design work and some marketing things. So Kay Bertram did a real good job of putting a logo together. She actually put six of them together. We sent those over to the coaching staff. Coach Gillespie picked the one they want, and we went with it. And then, you're right, last September, just before the season started, we actually launched that. That campaign out to season ticket holders and we've been working ever since to get it out in front of people. Same with the 1998 club, you know, talking with individuals, letting them know, especially when we're at basketball games, you know, again, right, I probably can't say this enough, you know, sending them to the website, empowerthenest.com, you know, you can click through the breadcrumbs and you'll see, you know, you can get to the specific pages for those two sports. They have their own individual donation pages, and they've got membership benefits. You know, and if at any point you have questions, there's a contact us. So, you know, mail at empowerthenest.com, send an email there. You know, there's a form you'll fill out that'll come to us as well. I mean, if most people know me, they'll just email me too. And I answer questions at, you know, jason.t.higdon@live.com. And, you know, I'm always happy to talk stuff. I know a lot of people are always like, hey, I'm really interested, but I don't know it. So I spent a lot of time just explaining it, what we're really about and what we're trying to accomplish. And I was just in Evansville this past weekend for the women's tournament. And talked with probably three or four different groups of ISU fans. You know, a lot of the questions were at first were like, is Chase staying? I think we all have heard, right? Chase is staying. That's awesome. Once we got past that, it was, you know, how do we make these teams successful? You know, and I go through that. And then they're obviously like, you know, how do I donate? How, you know, I don't have a lot of money, but I want to be. And I tell people, I'm like, look, it doesn't always have to be big dollars. You know, $25 here, $50 there makes a huge difference. And folks just understand that. And what's great about, the collective as a whole, we pretty much are dollar in, dollar out. We have the benefit of having some donors that help cover our expenses. So we don't have to take expenses out of donations, and we can really give that all back to the student athletes, which is great, right? A lot of collectives can't say that. So, when I really say that $25 makes a huge difference, it does, because $25 is going to a student athlete.
That's huge, Jason. There's a lot of 401(c)s, charitable organizations. If you look at their administrative costs, what they pull out of it, and how much actually, your dollar ends up into the hands of the charity, or in this case, the collective, for it to go almost dollar for dollar is huge. So that's great. Kudos to the organization. So Matt and Jason, you talked a little bit about the organizational structure, but let's talk about like the strategic role that you guys play, the role with the athletic department, the coaches, and the community, and how you help connect, everything together as well.
Yeah, so I'll actually let Matt kind of talk about his role as a director within, Empower the Nest itself, and then kind of what his expectations and how he interacts with myself. And then I'll talk about that, my interaction with, and what do I do to bring back information, for the board, like Matt, to be able to ask questions and, and then we can make some informed decisions.
Sure, absolutely. And so at least everyone that serves on this board, we all have our different strengths and different skill sets. And so, for me, being a former athlete, I'm bringing that perspective to the board. But because I do a lot of community service, it's allowed me to just build some connections within our local community. And so anytime that we are making connections and building some relationships that could support, Empower the Nest. When we have our board meetings, we are sharing that information with Jason. We're sharing that amongst each other, because so much of it is relationship based. And so we're looking at those relationships. We're discussing those in our board meetings, and then we're discussing that strategically, and that's helping inform us as far as decisions. And then that is very similar to when we begin to talk with some coaches in the athletics department. That's a relationship based as well, and we're talking with them, and we're it's a dialogue of what some of their goals, and then what are some of the, what goals do we have, and then it's a partnership of working together and trying to help each other meet our goals. And then in our board meetings with Jason, we're sharing what new knowledge we have. We're sharing, any and all, in any information that we have that can support, and then ultimately, we'll make decisions and vote on some decisions as a board.
Yeah, so we take, we'll have a board meeting. For instance, Matt will have some good conversation and ask some questions, things he'd like to see or know a little bit more about. And then I work on a day-to-day basis with the athletic department, primarily Brennan White, who's the director of name, image, and likeness for the university, and he's invaluable. He helps us, me specifically, when we have questions or there's some things we need to get done and I just can't get to it. The one thing that's great about the collective that's a little bit different than the other collectives as well is our entire board and myself included, we're all volunteer based. We don't get paid a dime. So as we talked earlier about those dollar in, dollar outs in that cost, right? There's no administration cost for my time and for Matt's time to do this. I mean, we do this because we love ISU sports and right, and we want to see championships, and it's fun. So Brennan's really a major key in helping me navigate the NCAA. Navigating ISU athletics itself, ISU, and working on the goals we want to accomplish. I meet with Paul Cabots, who's the associate athletic director as well, pretty frequently. You know, we're always emailing, texting, on phone calls, having face-to-face meetings. I joke with Brendan at this point. I'm at CEFQ so much, I should be able to have my own permanent parking spot there as well. And then, you know, in the whole thing, it's just talking about where are we at today as a collective? Where do we want to be at tomorrow? What donors are we talking to? Who's talking to who? You know, how are we looking at for the different sports? You know, what student athletes do we have deals with? How do we get them to do the things we need to have? And then about once a month, we get into a meeting that's, you know, Paul, Brennan, myself, Jerry Beggs, who's the new athletic director. So congratulations to Jerry. I was hoping and rooting for her, and I told her that. And I am so happy because I'm not a big fan of change. You know, we've gotten to where we're at, and I was a little bit worried, you know, a new athletic director, we might have to start over. But rabbit hole there. You know, we meet on, like I said, about a monthly basis and just talk general. NCAA compliance is actually in there as well, which is super cool. I think I've learned more about athletics in the NCAA in the 2.5 years I've been doing this than I ever would have imagined. But, you know, it's always talking about the landscape of the NCAA, the landscape of athletics in general, the landscape of ISU athletics. You know, where can we as a collective fit in and help? You know, I have ideas, they have ideas, we collaborate, you know, and then that information, like, you know, Matt mentioned earlier, I'll bring back to the board, we'll talk through it. Matt and company will have questions, we work through that. Brennan on occasion will be able to be in our meetings, and he's, you know, invaluable in answering some of that as well. And then write new questions, and then we just start the whole thing over for the next month.
So let's talk about some specific things, okay? And then just, you know, the community, you know, they have ideas like how it works, and some of it be obvious to you guys, but we can just confirm it, whatnot. So you get a pot of money in. It's not you and Matt deciding which players get it. I assume you work with the coaches, right? You work with the athletic department, and you're splitting up, like, how much would go to certain teams, and then within the teams, how much goes to the players. Is that a fair summary, or...?
So what happens is in so, like, people who donate to 1998 Club or Fly with us, we know that money is specifically designated for those programs. Right. So there isn't a whole lot we have to worry about from a general collective fund in that case. But you're right, Steve, when we have with our general fund for Empower the Nest itself, which if you want to learn more, right, go to empowerthenest.com. And check out our site. It's, you know, you're going to get a lot. Email me at mail@empowerthenest.com. And I'm always happy to talk about this. We do have, you know, when we have our general funds and we're sitting down, we'll have that conversation of, you know, what sports are we talking through? You know, who can we benefit? What can we help? For instance, ISU Women's Golf wanted to bring in a nice young lady from, I believe she was coming from Auburn, who is an amazing golfer. You probably heard of her, or if you're not a big women's golfer fan, you haven't heard of Morgan Jones. Start following the women's golf team. They are amazing. We were able to get an NIL deal with her when she came in, and it has been the greatest thing ever. She is usually in the top three in every tournament. And the finish, and she has helped. My numbers could be fuzzy. I don't want to call it an exaggeration, but it might be. But I think they played like 6 or 7 tournaments so far. They've won 3 and finished like 2nd or 3rd in the others. So, I mean, our women's golf team is great. Morgan was a really great investment because she is starting to get a ton of followers, right? She talks about us in her tweets, in her Instagram, you know, in her various social media posts, and that's great for us, right? Because our name is getting out there with these athletes, and we're watching the women's golf team just be amazing. With when we get into like football, basketball, women's basketball, we sit down and we kind of talk strategy, right? So it's how do we use funds to retain individuals and be able to get our name out there with those guys or ladies, you know, and then how do we bring in new individuals to get our name out there? You know, it's not a pay for play, right? So we don't give varying degrees of monetary payouts based on how many TDs you scored, how many points you scored, how many rebounds you got. We do a whole year deal, and there are things within those deals that lay out appearance expectations, social media posting about us, you know, things of that nature. And what's nice is when they do appearances within the community for us or post, because we have that IP right, they can be in Redbird gear, so that's huge. You know, getting our name out there is getting us more likes and follows and the various things. So, but we work with coaching staff and kind of come up with a strategy. We don't necessarily want to put the onus on the coaches to have to be able to say, you're right, player X is getting this, player Y is getting this, player Z is getting this. And the reason for that is it creates a perceived favoritism within the locker room, right? So Coach Peener, Coach Gillespie really likes this player more than me because they gave him more money. You know, and that's just not the case. But you know, these are young men and women who, you know, are 18, 19, and you know, are getting a chunk of change, and one may not be, and right, there could be a perceived slight, you know, from a coach that isn't intended. So we talk more general terms with coaching staffs. And then we'll meet behind the scenes with the university, so like Paul and Brennan, to have a little bit more detailed conversation on how you know, how can we benefit both, right? So we're keeping the right individuals who can get us our name and into the community out there, and then right, we go from there. We do kind of go over the last kind of budget with the coaches, but we're pretty clear on not telling them who's getting what, because again, right, it's plausible deniability for the coaching staff, you know. So if individuals want to be upset, they can come to us, but you know, we sign a contract with, you know, with individuals, and we outline some very specific things because we don't want them talking about it. You know, now do 18 and 19 year olds talk about when they get some money? Absolutely. We know that, but we do put some protections in place to dissuade them from not doing that because, right, it's we don't want some perceived slights or misconceptions. You know, if you know you're only playing a couple minutes a game, it's a harder, you're probably not having as many followers or likes, so it's a harder image and likeness brand sell to get our name out there versus, you know, some that have high minutes, you know, when we talk about basketball and are doing very well and can, you know, get those followers to get our name out there.
So Matt and Jason, if I have a business, okay, and I want to have an athlete come on and sponsor that, whatever way that might be, you know, through marketing or whatnot, how should I go about that? Should I just go directly to the athlete? Should I go to the university, or should I go to the collective? And if I go to the collective, what do you guys do, and how do you help that business get connected?
So there's a couple ways you can actually do this, Steve. One is if you know you want to get involved and you have a specific athlete, that's great. Or you just know a specific sport, that's great. You can come to Collective. We actually just launched just a few weeks ago a membership program for businesses. So you can come to us, you know, we'll talk through it. We can kind of gauge, you know, what level of interest you're in, right? Donate directly to the collective. We'll get that to the right program, or the right student athletes. And then, right, we'll work on appearances deals with them. The other is you can go directly the way the NCAA is structured now, you can go directly to Brennan as a business and be like, hey, I want to do a deal with the women's basketball team. And Brennan's like, okay. And he will help facilitate that deal for the student athletes with the business. And the collective's outside of that. The other, there's actually a third piece in those two, depending on if you are or not marketing with ISU, you may or may not be able to have student athletes in IP, right? So jerseys, jackets, things of that nature. Redbird Sports Property Management. Yep, you can actually go to them and strike up a marketing deal, right? I don't know what that really entails, I'll be honest, but as part of that, they can actually create deals and get student athletes with your business and be in gear. We've had a couple scenarios where we've been able to do things in the community, and we had student athletes in ISU attire. And just recently we did a couple signings for the men's and women's basketball teams at Collectible Corners. They do not have an IP deal with ISU, so the student athletes just showed up in regular clothes.
Okay. Great. So couple of questions. If you know, there's revenue sharing is happening, right? And obviously, ISU's revenue sharing is going to be different than Ohio State's. Once the revenue sharing is adopted, right, and the school opts in, what does that change the collective's role, or is it still happen? Is it still the same?
Yeah. Right. This will be Jason Higdon's take, and in no way am I talking on behalf of Illinois State, right, University Athletics. But I think at the mid-major, I think collectives still exist.
Yeah.
What that looks like is going to be interesting, right? With everything coming around the revenue sharing, and I don't know, Matt, if you have a little bit more detail, you know, in the things you do. I know. We're having a lot of conversations with the athletic department on what does that need to look like, right? How does the collective exist moving forward? How do we fit in and supplement with the revenue share? Right, revenue sharing isn't going to be all sports, right? I mean, that's just the reality. It's going to be your bigs, the men's basketball, the football, the women's basketball, the volleyball. Depending on where you're going to school, you know, LSU, it's probably going to be some baseball and gymnastics. Nebraska, you know, it's going to be a little bit different for everybody. But, you know, I think mid-majors are going to really stick to those four. And you know, I think the value of the collective then is to help supplement within those four, but then be able to focus on the others to help those student-athletes. And like I said, Matt, I know with you being on you know, involved in there, I don't know if you have some more insight or thought even.
Yeah, I thought you summed that up, you know, very well. There's not too much regarding revenue share I would add to that. I agree. You know, mid-major, you know, it's a bit different, and so I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah. So Matt and Jason, this is like a two-part question. Like, do we benchmark our collective to the other MVC, whether it's the MVC football or the MVC conference, the other collectives there? And then, you know, once we do that, like, what are our goals in 2025, 2026?
Yeah, so we actually do benchmark ourselves. The NCAA has actually started collecting data over the last couple of years with the help of some third-party organizations on what collectives are really looking like. So, you know, for a little bit of behind the scenes work, and Brennan knows this all too well. So if you ever have questions about this, Brennan will be able to answer these pretty well. But the student athletes actually have to record their NIL deals in an app. I believe it's called Influencer. I could be wrong, so Brennan's going to kill me because he talks about it all the time. Is it? Okay. Influencer. So when they record those deals, that data is actually aggregated and sent to the NCAA. And there's a website out there that you can look at what the kind of the average deals are. What is the average collective's funds? I wouldn't say it's the most accurate, but it's starting to get out there. So we do a lot of research ourselves to, you know, look at that data, take it with a grain of salt. Paul does a great job of communicating with other athletic directors in athletic departments across the valley, as well as mid-majors in general. He's got a ton of connections, and he, you know, he gets some good conversations. Brennan is in conversations with other NIL directors across the nation and getting some good information. So right, we take all that information, we aggregate it, and we kind of figure out where do we sit, both in the valley and really with mid-majors. Right, at the end of the day, we know we aren't. Well, I shouldn't. Right, reality is today we do not measure up to a P4 or a G5. There's never saying we can't get there. I mean, if we ever become a $25 million collective, I will do a dance down the street that will probably get me arrested, but. We definitely want to make sure that
Jason, how do we get to 25 million?
That'll be amazing if we can. But I, you know, our goal is to be the top of the valley.
And Jason, here's all we need to do to get 25 million. We got ISU has about over 239,000. I just looked it up. Alumni, right?
Yeah.
If everyone donates 100, what is that? Oh,
we'd kill it. We'd kill it. We would kill it.
That's $23 million, $100.
Yeah.
Part of our assets versus some of these other schools is the number of alumni, right?
Yeah.
And I think you said this at the beginning, for every $25 or whatever counts, okay? And if we can get everyone just put $100 who didn't do it last year, what would it look like? It'd be amazing, right?
Absolutely. And you can go to empowerthenest.com to make that donation.
Where, Jason?
Empowerthenest.com.
Say it one more time. Let me hear it one more time.
www.empowerthenest.com.
Yeah. So, look, this is like, we're having some success in some sports right now.
Absolutely.
Right? You can kind of see where things are going. And whether we like Neil or not, right? And there's a lot of things out there. It's part of the landscape right now. And so I think we all kind of have to accept it. It's going to be changing over these next couple of years. But where everyone can be part of it and influence it is to go to www.empowerthenest.com. Okay. If you have a passion for men's basketball, go to the 1998 club, right?
Yep.
Women's basketball. Right? Fly with us.
Yep.
ISU, empower the Nest. But we all can make an impact.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. You know, again, if we got all 239,000 people to donate $100, like you said, that's 23.9 million. Right, you get 50 bucks. That's still, man, right? You can tell I was not a math major at ISU. we'll roughly go 11 and a half million there. And that's still... That still would dominate.
Jason, right? if they gave $10, right?
That's $2.4 million
almost.
Yep.
$2.4 million, $10.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we would be the cream of the crop. I can tell you that. And I know Coach Peden, Coach Gillespie, Coach Spack, Coach Matters, right? You name a coach, they would salivate to have that in our collective fund.
Yeah.
So, can you? One more thing, like on your site, I'm sure it's there, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say I want to give something, but I don't want to do it. I want to do it over time, right? Do you guys have like a subscription?
We do. You can, you know, like anybody, you can just do a one-time donation. You want to do a big donation. But again, right, the average fan isn't looking, can't just drop $1,000 or $10,000. So we do have the opportunity for you to do a monthly subscription. So you can go out there and say, I want to donate $25 every month, right? So over the course of the year, that's what, 250 bucks, $275, something like that. Again, right, I wasn't a math major, which is embarrassing because I started off in accounting. So we'll save that story for offline.
All you have to say, Jason, is enough to make an impact, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
enough of you absolutely doing that, it's enough to make an impact.
Yeah, absolutely right. It's easy on an individual's wallet. It adds up over time for us, and you're right, Steve. It does make a huge impact.
And so, you know what, Steve?
Go ahead, Matt.
One thing I would add, just when we were talking about the goals, you know, much like our men's basketball team, much like you know, our golf teams, their goal is to be the best in their conference. They want to win championships, and so, you know, now that NIL and having a collective is part of the landscape, much like, you know, those teams in our athletics department strategize to be the best, we are strategizing that exact same way. Every meeting we have is strategizing to be the best, especially in our conference. And the better that our NIL, the better our collective is. You know, it's a partnership, but we're, our goal is to be the best. Our goal is to raise the most, and we, you know, we look at different, you know, benchmarks, but our goal is to win championships as well in this a field of it.
Yeah, and I want to circle back a little bit, Steve, to the question I asked earlier about how business can evolve. So we talked about, you know, businesses can just come up and we could talk about donating, but we actually have a couple of businesses that are donating through some various endeavors. One is Denny's Donuts. So they actually sell a dozen ISU cookies. And for every dozen of cookies they sell, a portion of that comes back to the collective. And every month, the five people at Denny's Donuts will send us a check. And it just goes into our general fund. The other is, and we talked about this, oh, John, was it like 18, 20 months ago? Is we actually have a partnership. You've seen us raise this can a couple times with Kegro Brewing Company here in town. They've actually created a collective beer for us called Empower the Nest, right? So if you can never remember where to go or what to look at, right? Our website is always on a can, and part of the proceeds of that beer sale actually comes back to us as well.
Doesn't it also happen with this one too?
Yeah, Distill's got a little bit bigger brand, right? So Distill has got theirs with the university as a whole, and there's a portion that goes back to the university.
Oh, good.
And we talked about how does that impact us as a collective, and we're still working through all those details. But, you know, Distill has got Redbird Ale and Battlebirds, which are two great beers. Yeah. And you know, you're not gonna go wrong drinking those. And you know, and they do some really good stuff. And you know, I hope Matt Potts watches this because I'm gonna hit him up and try to and wrangle him into a little bit more for the collective himself. You know, but again, his is more with the university, and some of those funds may eventually trickle back into us. We just haven't figured out how that's going to work yet. But the funds from the proceeds from Empower the Nest a portion of those proceeds do come back directly into the collective.
Hey, I want to give one more example. I know this isn't exactly through the collective, right? But how the community and the fans can make an impact. Okay, so we had a great game against Bradley. Right, and there was an iconic moment that happened. Right, so Johnny gets cut, blood all over the place, and to the credit, very quickly that there was some shirts and yep. brand that were put out there, right? And I think you guys have seen some of the social media that's come out afterwards, right?
Yep.
You know, the community rallied around it, and I've seen seventh, I've seen eighth, whatever it is, it was impactful, okay?
Yeah,
absolutely. And it just shows how this community, the little things like that can make a big difference, okay? And I don't think there was anyone before that game sitting there going like, we got a shirt or we got a thing market, we're going to be in the top, you know, seven or eight in the nation, all, I think it was all sports.
Yeah. So we are, so one of the great things about the collective, right, is we don't force every deal to be through us, right? At the end of the day, we want to support the student athletes and them being able to capitalize on their name, image, likeness. And Brendan has done a really good job of partnering with a couple apparel companies where student athletes can go out and create, they can sign up and create jerseys and t-shirts. And through this third party company, a portion of the sales for that stuff goes directly to the student athlete. And that's fantastic, right? That's, like I said, right? We want them to be able to optimize and really, really capture, you know, that name, image, and likeness. And yeah, the university does a great job. When Johnny got cut, and right, they got that picture of him bleeding. And we whipped Bradley.
He's doing his W, right?
Yep. they capitalized right. I'll be honest. My daughter saw it and bought one. She was like, "This is amazing. I gotta have
John's
one."
John's got it on.
Yep. Yeah. John's got it. Yep.
Absolutely.
So yeah, my daughter bought one, so she has one. So yeah, you know, the university finds those moments, and I could be happier for Johnny for that, right? He's making some money off that. It's getting him out there. It's getting ISU out there. People know that picture is from when we whipped Bradley. You know, I don't know if I can say that enough, but you know, so yeah, I'm all on board. You know, again, the community is always looking for ways to support these student athletes. If you're not comfortable giving a single dollar to the collective, I'm okay with that. Go out and buy one of their t-shirts.
Buy a shirt.
Go out and buy a jersey with their name on it. Like, that helps them just as much.
Yeah, and look.
Absolutely.
Other athletes coming in, right? Whether it's sport, whether it's men's basketball or something like that, when they can see that, wow, the community's going to rally around and support it, that has to get attention.
Yeah. Like you said, Steve, I think as a university, we're in the top five for NIL sales around apparel with student athletes. This community just loves supporting the student athletes at Illinois State. And I can't imagine how crazy it is going to get here when we're winning, you know, postseason tournaments,
yep.
right? The women, the men got a great shot at winning the CBI, right? The women got a great shot at winning the WNIT this year. Like, we bring home some hardware. We start getting back into the NCAA tournament. I think the women are only 2, maybe 3 years out, right? We know the story of the men, but they are on the precipice, right? They are on the doorstep, and they are knocking hard. This team starts getting back into those NCAA tournaments, and the community is going to go all out for them.
Jason and Matt, thank you so much for being on. And remember, if you haven't been out to www.empowerthenest, please go out there. You can find information, you can send emails, you can donate, you can do all that stuff. You can also contact Brendan White over at the athletic department if you have other questions. And so this has been episode 63 of Bird Fans Forever with Jason Higdon and Matt Coates, and Empower the Nest. John, hit it.